The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
You know, I'm always stirred when I read in Matthew 25:40 that the Lord says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did unto the least of these, my brethren, it's as if you have done it for me." Now, we're going to talk today on Exploring the Word about helping out some of the neediest, the least of these, our brethren, in just a moment. But I welcome you to the program. My name is Alex McFarland. This is Exploring the Word, and we're going to get to your Bible questions in just a moment. We've got a very, very special first segment, and I do want to throw out a couple of prayer requests as we get into today's edition of Exploring the Word. I'm coming to you from North Greenville University. I was at Tupelo at AFR last week, and we were recording and doing some very special things for the program, and I've been on the road. I do ask people to pray. I'm going to be in Canada this weekend in a couple of debates with atheists and sharing the gospel, defending the faith. I value your prayers in this weekend of ministry, but also please pray for Brother Bert. Bert has been a little bit under the weather. He's probably going to be back with us on Monday, but as you probably know, if you're a regular Exploring the Word listener, he's not been on this week, and so we're just very much anticipating him feeling better and coming on back, and so I know he would appreciate your prayers. And I was on the phone earlier with Jim Stanley, the leader of our network, and he's sounds like he's got a cold or something, and so we just value your prayers. But most of all, join us in praising God as the gospel goes forth, and as we get to take this time every day to open up the Word of God, and we're going to do that. We'll get to your Bible questions here in just a moment. But right now, I'm so excited. You know, we always love to hear good news. Well, there is some great news about what's being done by a very wonderful friend in the ministry, India Partners. And right now on Exploring the Word, I've got David Harms of India Partners, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Days of Safety. We are going to talk about what they're doing to win the lost in India and to help save lives and really live out the Matthew 25:40 mandate that we serve in Jesus' name to the least of the brethren. David, thanks for holding and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, we're always happy to talk more about God's heart for the broken and the poor and those especially victimized here by trafficking, which I heard someone describe as the greatest scourge on society as a global society today. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you feel about that, but it certainly is a scourge for sure when human beings are bought and sold. So, yes.
Yeah, I mean, happy to share. For humans to be abducted and held like physical property, human trafficking, for human lives to be bought and sold and traded for profit, that is very sad indeed. And it's not just something that we lament. It's something the fact that India Partners is liberating lives in the name of Jesus, that is something we really celebrate.
Well, and we are excited to report back several different things. I mean, we were just there about 2.5 weeks ago and had a chance to see the brand new safe house that has been purchased as a result of the funding of the previous campaigns here on AFR.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do we have a safe house, no longer renting but now owning, but it is a bigger, more spacious facility with already able to take in more girls and room for expansion. So this is good stuff. It simply means that what we've done in the past has been working. It's grown. And unfortunately, I mean, there's still a lot of need. So we are asking those who are listening to step out and do something about human trafficking and stop it. By rescuing girls and then putting them in these safe houses.
So yes.
It's $7.08, by the way, to provide a day in the safe house, and that's everything that they would absolutely need. It's the full room and board. It's full-time private Christian school. The tutoring, the medical attention, the counseling, everything for $7.08 a day.
$7.08. Now, so in the nearly 30-year history of India Partners, you've built orphanages, you've built schools, you've reached out to those in prison, those incarcerated. You're feeding the hungry. You build medical clinics. You train people for jobs and vocations. You rescue children and women out of prostitution and sex trafficking and so much more, and you do it all just steeped in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, folks, this is Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here. We're talking with David Harms of India Partners. We are praying for and calling out that listeners would provide 14,000 at least 14,000 days of safety, rescue, and care for children escaping from the red light areas of Mumbai. And David, tell us again what a mere $7. I mean, that's like that's what we would spend on buying lunch or something. $7.08. What will that do in the life of an individual?
Well, just as a reference point, today I just went and got a couple of tacos and some chips and a drink, and it was $10. So
wow,
yeah. Well, okay, now I don't know why that was $10, but there you go, $7.08.
Yeah,
though is all the things that I mentioned, which was room and board, and this is the key thing. There's trauma counseling attached to this because it has to be. Because these girls are so damaged on the inside, if we were just going to rescue them out, we would be a social service.
Right.
But we're a ministry. And so because of that, we have to do both. We have to rescue them out and we have to work on the healing of the inside, right? And that means the gospel of Jesus. And so what we are asking people to do is to call. I've got a phone number if I can give that.
Sure, sure.
It's 877-616-2396. So 877-616-2396. And you can also give and get information at afr.net.
Wonderful.
I was thinking maybe just in the next 20 minutes or so, enough could be raised to take care of one girl for a year.
Mm-hmm.
That would be 52 people giving $50 or 26 people giving $100 or 12 people giving $212. That's how kind of the math works out. Every $50 is another week that you're underwriting in the guest house or in the safe house. So
sure.
If you can call and give, we'll kind of put that as a goal here by the bottom of the hour, but we're just thankful for what God has done in the past and what he will do through you.
Well, and we applaud what you're doing, David, and India Partners is doing such a vital work because really for those that are raised up merely to be slaves in the sex industry, I mean, for so many of these people, I mean, it is like a living hell, isn't it? And what you're doing with your safe houses and your rescuing and getting people liberated from the red light districts, plus introducing them to the life-changing message of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just a whole different life and a whole different world for these people that are being rescued, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, if you think about it, a girl, a woman even, it can be as bad. I've talked to women who are forced to be with a man 30 times a day.
Mm.
30 times a day. Now, granted, that's on the upper end of it, but I asked kind of what was the average when I was there just a couple weeks ago. And it's about 8 to 12 per day.
And at what age are these young girls subjected to this?
Well, it depends on when they were trafficked in. And so they can be as young as 8. They can be 12, 13, 14. Now, they can be 18, they can be 20. We do know that because of the work they're in, they do have children. And those children are now part of that, and they're also considered the property of the owner. Mm. And so if we don't get them out, 95% of those girls go right into the same line of work that their moms did. They don't know any different, and they're considered the property of the owner. And so this is why it's urgent, especially to get the younger ones out.
Yeah.
And that's why we ask you to call to make a gift, because as the money is raised, we this is one of the ways we've used it. Let me just kind of tell you the good news here, too. A couple of years ago, 2 years ago, we only had the funding to have our what we have to call social workers. These are the ministers. These are the counselors. They go into the red light districts consistently. And then 2 years ago, we could only afford to send them in about 2 days a week. We just didn't have the funding for that. Well, now, because of the funding that's come in, not only do we have a brand new safe house for the girls, and we have other safe houses as well, but we have a brand new safe house for the girls. In addition to that, we're now able to put our staff into the red light districts every day, and that has caused a lot of progress. So,
Amen.
For instance, since the beginning of the year, we know that there are 9 women that have been able to be rescued out, and about 5 new children going into our safe house. So, and that's just since the beginning of the year, and that was the numbers as of 3 weeks ago. So, we're excited by this, and the progress is happening because people give. We
sure.
wouldn't be able to have the staffing like we do or the safe house room that we do without the funding. So that's why we're grateful for the calls.
Let me give this number. Folks, listen very carefully. The number is 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or you can give online at AFR.net, as in American Family Radio, AFR.net. $7.08 provides a day of safety, a day of rescue and care for a child escaping the red light districts of India. 2 weeks would be covered by $100, $212 an entire month. And $50 would provide a week of safety, rescue, and care. You know, David, I just want to say I really don't know of a ministry where you get as much, evangelism bang for your ministry buck as what you're doing with India Partners. And, frankly, the life you're describing that many of these people are subjected to, and as you said, they just don't know anything different. They've been abducted. They're enslaved. It's really hard for we Americans to get our mind around it, but it's not a life at all. And yet you're giving them not only hope and a future, but eternal life. That's a good work, my friend.
Well, we just believe that Jesus can save. I mean, as simple as that sounds, we mean that in both getting them out and in the eternal side of our lives, that Jesus saves. And so we proclaim that. And we also know, having worked in the red light districts now for many years, that they're longing for that identity. That so many of these women are there because of the caste system that has said, basically, you're the untouchables, except for what you can
Dowards.
Do for us. Right, yeah. Exactly. And so to be able to, in other words, they're being told, you were created, you were born to serve this way. And because it's such a cultural thing, they believe it. And so when we come in with the gospel that says no. And not only that, let's show you the story about how Jesus would hang out with prostitutes,
mm-hmm.
right? And right. so we share those stories and we talk about the new life and the identity that we can have because we follow Jesus. They just soak it up like a sponge. And we have to present that message because that's where ultimate healing does come from and salvation. So it is part and parcel of all that we do, which is why we're so excited when we can partner and when people kind of catch that vision and be able to say, you know what, this is an investment into God's kingdom advancing on earth as it is in heaven. I mean,
yes.
It's kind of what we pray for, isn't it?
God, well, it is.
Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
And folks, at American Family, we believe in India Partners. We believe in the work they do. They've been doing this since 1984, and they've got an incredible track record of evangelizing, rescuing people, giving them food and shelter and education. And, you know, I would imagine now, David, you've got some of the people that you've reached with the gospel that are evangelizing others.
Oh, absolutely. It happens every day.
We've got a break. This is Exploring the Word, Alex McFarland on the American Family Radio Network. Stay tuned because there's more after this brief break. Don't go away.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. God removes kings and sets up kings. What does all this mean? Then God raised up Donald J. Trump out of his casino operation, womanizing background, standing against the godless ripping and tearing apart of pre-born babies. This all in the beginning weeks of his administration. God's ways are not our ways, and our ways are not his. Case in point, God spoke with sarcasm to Job and Job's friends, coaching them on how to see the smallness of their so-called wisdom. Quoting, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place?" Unquote. Job 38. God is still on the throne, and we are not. This is a Decency Minute. Find us at AmericanDecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
Anybody who's ever received a gift in the mail knows that even though the post office delivered it, somebody else sent it. But Dr. Tony Evans says we seem to forget how that works when the gift comes from God. He'll explain today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
The grocery store is not your source. It is merely a distribution channel so you can pick up something that has come from another source. Every piece of fruit, every piece of vegetable that you get at the grocery store is only because it was farmed. And it could only be farmed because there was seed. But seed could only grow because it was planted. It could only be planted because there was soil. But it could only grow because there was sun and rain. No sun, no rain, no seed, no soil, no fruits, no vegetables. God doesn't want you getting excited about a channel where you can go buy it and not the source that gave it to you in the first place so you could go get it. He says, I want to be recognized as your source. But I don't just want to hear it from your lips. I want to see it with your life. That is the recognition that I am your provider. That's why, even in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, it says, when you come to worship God on the first day of the week, you are to bring your offering. Why? Because it was tied to whether you were worshiping God or not. So the tithe, or the first fruits, was the way that you let God know you knew He was your source.
For an in-depth, practical look at what it really means to put the Lord first, ask for details on Tony's teaching series, Restoring God to His Rightful Place, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here. I'm going to give the number for your Bible questions, 888-589-8840, toll-free nationwide. We're going to get to your Bible questions. I do want to allude to what we've been doing going through the Old Testament, but first, before we forget, India Partners, folks, our goal with AFR, and you know, we only bring ministries to your attention that we believe in, ministries that we partner with, and India Partners, they're doing a work that is so vital. We're praying for a combined minimum of 14,000 days of safety. Just think, $7.08, you could change somebody's life, somebody's eternity. Now, we've got a testimony that Brent is going to queue up here, so listen very carefully, and then we're going to give the India Partner info one last time.
Every day, my mom would shower, get dressed, fix me breakfast, and then go to the room next door. That's where she would work. There was this man always with her when she worked. She called him my father. There were lots of visitors to my mom's business, but my father would yell at my mom and me a lot. I think he wanted her to do more business. I'm not sure what business my mom does, but I know she loves me. She wanted me to come here and learn English and be safe. Here I learn about Jesus and I feel protected. I thank God for all He has done for me. I also pray every day for my mom, so I pray that she is safe and no harm will come to her.
Isn't that something? You know, in here in America, we can't really fathom, we can't really think about the life that so many people are just resigned to be a part of, and yet India Partners is helping people be liberated. So here's the thing. Listen carefully to this number, 877 616-2396, or you can give online at afr.net. $7 to give somebody rescue and a day of safety and the gospel. And we believe in India Partners, and I want to thank David Harms for being on with us, and we look forward to keeping you updated at how God is using this great ministry. We hope you will invest in the souls of these precious people in India who need to be rescued. Well, listen to this. We're going to get to your Bible questions here in a moment, but I want to give you a little update on what Bert and I have been doing. We've been going through the Old Testament and looking at Jesus in every book of the Bible, and it's just been so exciting. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth, and Esther, like Mordecai, and the Christ figures, David in the Old Testament, and Joseph with his coat of many colors. Well, we've gotten to the book of Psalms, and as you know, with Psalms, I mean, there are so many places. I mean, we could spend probably a year going through the references to the Lord Jesus in the book of Psalms, and we can't really do them all because, you know, there's 150 Psalms. But I'm going to just allude to a few, and Bert and I will pick up on it more. But the second Psalm, this is just amazing because Psalm 2 is a reference to the Savior's triumphant return one day and kingdom. And it talks about, I think there's a reference to the Battle of Armageddon, frankly. It says, why did the heathen rage, the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing, literally plot a vain thing. The kings of the earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. But it says this in Psalm 2, verse 7. I will decree, the Lord has said to me, you are my son, this day have I begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. They're in Psalm 2, and there's so many that we can and will get to, but there's a reference to the fact that the evil systems of this world, the kings of this world, array themselves to try and fight the Messiah, the Savior. But Jesus is sent forth from the Father. Now, let me unpack the word begotten for just a moment, then we're going to get to your calls. 888-589-8840. If you've got a Bible question, feel free to call in. And I want to give you a little tidbit that you might be able to use in witnessing and in evangelism. You know, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Psalm 2 here that we just read, the Father says, you are my son, I have begotten you. Now, sometimes people will say, well, that must mean Jesus is not the eternal Son of God. If he was begotten, that speaks of a birth, correct? And so maybe, as Muslims will say, that Jesus is not the eternal second member of the Trinity, but he was this mortal that was birthed. You need to understand what the Word of God is meaning when the word begotten is used. Begotten means that Christ proceeds forth from the Father. But let me unpack it a little bit farther, because literally what it means is that Jesus is of the same nature as the Father. In John 3:16, where it says, God sent his only begotten Son. In the original language, this is a little bit fancy here, but don't let it scare you. It's the word mono, M-O-N-O, genesis, or genesis, G-E-N-E-S-I-S, monogenesis. Now, what in the world is that? What does that mean? Okay, it means of the same nature or origin. You know, the book of Genesis, the book of origins. Okay, Jesus, when it says the Son is begotten of the Father, you know what that means? It means Jesus is of the very same nature or essence of the Father. In other words, Christ is co-equal. So, in this Psalm 2, verses 7 and 8, and John 3:16, it's a reference to the fact that Christ is of the same nature as the Father. In other words, fully God. Well, there's much more messianic truth in the Psalms, and we'll get to those. But right now, we're going to go to Arkansas. We've got our first caller. Welcome to Exploring the Word, 888-589-8840. Is this David? Do I have your name right?
That's right.
How you doing, friend?
Better than I deserve.
Amen. What you got for me today, brother?
I actually have two questions for you. The biblical question is, in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians.
Right.
We were studying that the other day, and then I was reading a synopsis deal that went along with it.
And very famous chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, deals with what, my friend?
Well,
starts with the letter R.
Talk some in the resurrection.
Yep.
About the resurrection of, and anyway, the commentary on it and everything said that after the rapture happens and pulls the church out and everything, but the Old Testament saints and the saints of the tribulation are not resurrected into their bodies until after the tribulation. I'd like for you to expand on that.
Okay. And you said you had another question, too?
Yeah, I just wanted on that India partner thing. They talk about being on for 30 years, and they're still doing what they're doing. Is anybody trying to fix the situation, or are they just treating symptoms? I mean, you know, it looks to me like after 30 years, they could have had a lot of that under control where it wasn't happening anymore.
Well, God bless you. You know, we'll have to ask them that. But I will say this, you know, India is a continent of more than a billion people. And for years, they've been steeped in this caste system where, apart from the gospel of Jesus, people really don't, move from one caste to another. And they're the lowest caste of all are called the Dalits, D-A-L-I-T-S. And the Dalits are viewed by many of the upper castes as just not even being human. And so you've got a culture steeped in centuries of false religion, abuse of fellow human beings. Then you've got the greed and the sin nature of the people that operate brothels and human life means nothing. It's just all about money. And so, I believe they're doing a great work. And 3 decades is, apart from just the return of Christ himself, I just don't know that a billion people steeped in human abuses and sin, I just don't know that we could expect it to move faster than what it's doing. So, no, they're changing it, and as it's been shown in world history, in India or any culture, the ultimate solution, apart from Christ's return, I mean, the ultimate solution is to raise generations to know the Lord, and, you know, there's got to be a start somewhere, and then you get several generations in of people who know the Lord and have a Christian worldview, and that's when continents and cultures get radically changed. But let me address your other question, because here is something that I think is a little bit interesting. Some of the end times passages, I think about like 1 Thessalonians 4 that talks about the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it goes on in 1 Corinthians 15, if you read 12 through 19, it talks about God raised up Christ, and he's going to raise up the believers also. And it says in verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead, become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Okay, here's basically what's going to happen. Christ is the first who rose from the grave in this time of the new covenant. The curtain in the temple was torn top to bottom, Matthew 27, 51 through 54. He said, it is finished. He died. He rose. He's the first to have beaten death. But every believer will conquer the grave as well. But for those that die now, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But ultimately, the final resurrection body that we will have for all of eternity, we won't get until I believe, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is during the tribulation period, we get that final resurrection body. And then there is, at the end of the tribulation, there's the great white throne, the resurrection of the lost, where they get eternal condemnation. So there's a lot to eschatology, but here's the bottom line. Christ is coming back. The evil systems of the world that are increasingly aligned against God will be fully defeated. Those who know Christ will be with him forever in their eternal brand new body. Those that rejected Christ, lost forever. And here's one important point to make. There is no second chance after death. There's no second chance after death. Okay, we're going to Tennessee right now. Tennessee, welcome for Ann in Tennessee. Thank you for holding. Welcome to Exploring the World.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, is this Dan?
Yes, it is. Hey, Alex, how are you doing, sir?
Good. I'm sorry I called you Ann, but it's Dan in Tennessee. 888-589-8840. Dan, what's the question, my friend?
Okay, yeah, I'm a faithful listener of yours. I'm sorry to hear about Brother Burke being under the weather, but we'd be praying for him. But my
Bless
question
you.
Is, you know, I listen to you guys all the time, and my question is, why is Israel God's chosen country? Why are the Jews his chosen people if God created everybody and everything? Why not the American Indian? Why not the Eskimo, for instance, or some other race? I mean, if he created everything and everybody, why would he just pick one single race to form all the miracles in, and Jesus spending all his time in Israel and in the Middle East and perform all of his miracles there? Why not anywhere else in the world? Why didn't he spread the wealth, so to speak?
God bless you. God bless you. You know, it's very interesting. You know, there was that little bit of verse that was written one time. Somebody wrote, how odd of God to choose the Jews. Because Deuteronomy says this: the Lord did not set his affection upon you because you were more numerous than any other people, for you were the fewest of people. And in John 15, verse 16, Jesus said to Jewish listeners, he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Now, the Bible says unto the Jewish people were entrusted the oracles of God. Remember in Genesis 11 and 12, God called Abraham and said, Abraham, through you, I'm going to make a great nation. Through you, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And so Abraham believed God, and he left Ur of the Chaldees, and he went to a land that he was called to go to, didn't know where he was going. Why did God choose the Jewish people? Because as Deuteronomy says, you know, they weren't the most powerful, they weren't the most numerous. Let me just say this. I think God, and this is just speculation, but I do think it's speculation with some scriptural support. I think God chose the Jewish people to demonstrate his sovereignty, to demonstrate his power. Okay, it wasn't that he chose the wealthiest people, the most powerful people. God does a lot of things that's really counterintuitive from the way we humans would do things. But a key to understanding not only who God works through, but when God works, is in Galatians 4:4. It says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, to redeem those that were under the law. God is free. God is sovereign. He intervenes within history, but he's not pushed, or his hand is not forced by any human activity. God is sovereign. God is in control. And therein, Dan, I believe, is a great comfort. Why did he choose the Jewish people? Because they were positioned by his plan to rise up. Even though they fell away, they backslid, he was able to still achieve his plan and send his Son into the Jewish nation to be our Savior. Stay tuned, folks. We've got a break. Exploring the Word, we'll come back after this with more of your Bible questions. Don't go away.
Would it be easier to pray if you knew Jesus was praying with you? During Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was facing religious and national corruption, betrayal by his closest friends, and the pressing weight of the sin of humanity. Yet he unselfishly invited his disciples to pray with him so they wouldn't give in to temptation. Gethsemane means oil press and can represent pressing circumstances in our lives, times when we're tempted to deny our faith and walk away. Jesus knows what it takes to move us to a new level of faith we'd never reach if we avoided the Gethsemanes in life. Remember, Jesus is no longer in the garden praying. He's your victorious Savior, seated at the Father's right hand, interceding for you. What pressing life issues are you facing? Will you say yes to praying with Jesus? I'm Kay Horner, Executive Director of the Awakening America Alliance for OneCry.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning.
This is a time of madness. It really is. This is from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. He said, evil attacks the weakest, denies truth and love, is defeated through Jesus Christ. And I just love that. Evil is defeated through Jesus Christ. And so let's not be afraid. And if you are afraid, then, you know, make yourself right with God.
Sandy Rios in the morning. Weekday mornings at 7 Central on American Family Radio. Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each afternoon at 4 p.m. Central Time for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others every day on AFR.
Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
Our great country continues to get slammed by natural disasters, hurricanes and tornadoes, flooding. I mean, it's everywhere from Texas, South Carolina, to Georgia, Mississippi, all throughout the country, our country has suffered. Here's where you and I get a chance to be a glimpse of Jesus. It is so cool to meet a homeowner who has gone to no fault of their own. Their world has been turned upside down, and you get a chance to bless them. You know, we tarp roofs and do chainsaw work, and we gut homes that flooded right after disaster with our rapid response team. And then we also look to rebuild homes with 8 Days of Hope, like we've done 12 different areas of the country. 1,800 homes, $25 million of damage. People all the time say, man, you're good. Well, we're not that good, but he is great. Be a part of something unique. 8 Days of Hope.
Learn more at 8daysofhope.com.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, we'll talk with India Partners about how you can be part of the campaign that rescues children from Mumbai's red light district and provides support for them, including the gospel. Also, highlights of President Trump's extraordinary press conference, plus Aaron Free. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Exploring the Word is back. Alex McFarland here, your host today. By the way, my website is just my name, alexmcfarland.com. My schedule is on there. I do a lot of traveling and speaking all over the country. Always love to meet Exploring the Word listeners everywhere I go. And it just seems more and more we meet the great Exploring the Word audience everywhere we go. And it really means so much to us. We love you guys and gals listening and look forward to more of your calls. 888-589-8840. Right now we're going to Alabama. I love Alabama. Adrian in Alabama, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, thank you. I have a question. And in Acts chapter 16, there's a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, and mm-hmm. Paul rebukes the spirit in Jesus' name. And I was wondering, how is a possessed woman able to say, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us to the way of salvation, if she's possessed? And I didn't understand how a possessed person could support God, or it seems like she supported God for a minute.
You know, that's interesting. This is in Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. And do you know, it's almost like a mocking spirit. Because on the one hand, and by the way, Adrian, thank you, because I've thought about this before, studied on this a bit. The girl says, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Now, that's good, because Paul and Silas are the servants of the Most High God. And yes, they were proclaiming the way of salvation. But the thing was, it says this girl followed for many days, and it was like this evil mocking spirit. She keeps repeating this over and over and over. Now, I will tell you, I have been in jails, and I've been at a few universities where I felt like there was a demonic spirit. And I remember one time I was speaking at a university, and there was a young man that was saying, "Amen, amen." And, okay, when a preacher is getting amened, generally that's a pretty good thing. But he was mocking, just over and over, just repeating, not to affirm the message, but really to rattle the messenger. And so Paul, it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 18, Paul begins to understand that she's got a spirit. And he turns and says, "I command you, come out in the name of Jesus Christ." And the spirit left her. So she had this spirit of divination. Now, to divine something or divination, she was a fortune teller. And let me just say this, folks, another topic for another day. But look, occult activity, Ouija board, horoscope, fortune telling, run. Do not have anything to do with that stuff, because it is a gateway to being demonized. The devil, like a monkey on someone's back, the devil tries to get in through those types of things. And this girl somehow had fallen prey to an evil spirit, and she was mocking and interrupting Paul and Silas's preaching by saying something that on the surface might have sounded good, but it certainly wasn't celebrating the message of the gospel. She was disruptive, but Paul disrupted the demon's work in her. He delivered her, and that's what that Acts 16 is about. Let me just say this, folks. We do live in a supernatural world. We live in a world of spiritual warfare, and Acts explain some of those circumstances pretty vividly. Adrian, thanks very much. We're going to go to Oklahoma, to Derek in Oklahoma. Folks, the number, we'll get your Bible question in, 888-589-8840. Derek, what part of Oklahoma are you in, my friend?
Edmond. It's just north of Oklahoma City.
Oh, I've been there before. That's a great town, and we're glad to hear from you.
Well, I just thank you guys for your show. I really, really enjoy it. Really appreciate it. I had a question about Calvinism.
Okay.
I know you guys preach unity, and I'm totally on board with that. I think that, you know, denominationally we should, you know, work with our brothers and sisters. So my question, I don't want to be divisive, but it seems to me that Calvinism, it walks a very close line to almost denying an aspect of Jesus's divinity, and also kind of challenging God's loving nature by kind of only focusing on his sovereignty and kind of, pushing sovereignty to the ultimate limit, and then denying just some of the nature of God. And it kind of, it bothers me sometimes. And I don't know if I'm just misplacing my, you know, that, or if I'm onto something there. So I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Elaborate on, you said that Calvinism sometimes can minimize some of Christ's divinity. What do you mean there?
So I understand it that Christ died for the sins of the world, but it seems that Calvinism teaches that Christ, he shed his blood only for the elect.
Okay, limited atonement. Okay, gotcha. All right, let me comment on this, Derek, a little bit. And folks, let me just say this. One of the things that we value and we pray for is unity within the body of Christ. D.L. Moody said, "Any friend of Jesus is a friend of mine." And that's how we feel. I know listening to this program, we have Reformed and non-Reformed, and we have premillennial and non-premillennial, and we have Calvinist and non-Calvinist. I am a non-Calvinist. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But let me just say this. The main thing is, believe in Jesus and be a follower of Jesus. You know, the Son of God shed his blood on the cross to wash our sins away. And the main thing we hope everyone is a follower of Jesus. And wherever you land in some of the theological, you know, the theological nuances, in a way, I mean, the main thing we care about is just that you're a Christian. I will say this, though, in recent years, Calvinism has been, you know, it's really had kind of a resurgence, and there's no way we can adequately do this justice, but let me just say this, all of us, if you're listening to this program, whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Assembly of God, Bible Church, if you're listening to this show and you're a Bible-believing evangelical Christian, you're a child of the Reformation. You really are. Because in 1517, you know, Luther nailed his document to the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. Justification by faith, not works. Salvation is a gift we receive. It's not a work that we earn. So no matter who you are or where you stand on election, we're all beneficiaries of the Great Reformation. Now, up in the Netherlands, you had a guy named Menno Simons, and in Geneva, Switzerland, you had John Calvin, and in Germany, you had Luther, and there was Ulrich Zwingli. And the fact is, if you study the Reformers, you're going to find some wonderful things in all of their lives, and you're going to find a few things that'll make you squirm in all of their lives. Ultimately, we're not calling on you to follow any Reformer or any human, certainly not Bert and Alex, goodness gracious. We're calling on the whole wide world to follow Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things, though, let me just say this, and if I say something that offends you, I beg your forgiveness. I really do. I wouldn't want to offend anybody. But Calvinism oftentimes is delineated by what's called a tulip, T-U-L-I-P. And here are the petals of the tulip. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. Now, two of those petals I have no problem with. Total depravity. Apart from Christ, we are lost. P, perseverance of the saints. I believe that we, if you're born again, I believe in the eternal security of the believer. But here are some of the petals of the tulip that I do have a problem with. Unconditional election, meaning most, not all, but many Calvinists would say God elects some to hell and some to heaven. Sometimes that's called double election. I disagree with that because the Bible clearly says whosoever will may come. Isaiah 55, 1 through 7, whoever is thirsty, come to the water. John 3:16, whoever believes in him. Then limited atonement, I reject that. Because Jesus, clearly, the Bible says he died for the sins of the world. And why they would pick out some of these things, maybe we'll spend a show on it, although I really don't much want to. And then irresistible grace. Grace is clearly resistible. I mean, think about this. Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and kill those I send to you, how often would I have gathered you to myself as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. That's Matthew 23:37. See, I believe Scripture shows and really life, you know, demonstrates God offers salvation, but he doesn't force it. Now, a lot of the Calvinistic push to say that, you know, the elect will come to God and nobody would deny God's overtures, as the caller said, they do want to emphasize the sovereignty of God. But let me just throw this out and we'll move on. And if I've offended you, I beg your forgiveness. But here is why I, as a Presbyterian, left Calvinism and became a Baptist, one of a lot of reasons. But I couldn't understand why the elect took no role in accepting Christ, but the non-elect were blameworthy for having rejected Christ. In my mind, I felt like that was a conundrum. Anyway, there's much more we could say, but the bottom line is come to Jesus. Where you land, what church you go to, as long as it's a church that believes the Bible, preaches the gospel, God bless you. Let's go to, I think we're going to go to Ron in Louisiana. Ron, are you still there after my long rant? Are you there, Ron?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Thanks for holding. Where are you in Louisiana, brother?
Gonzales, a little south of Baton Rouge.
All right. Glad to have you. What you got, my friend?
Question is, I've been a Christian for a little over 8 years. I understand what Paul says in Romans about doing the things you not want to do and all that. My question is, how do you, after 8 years of being a born-again Christian, I struggle with getting frustrations and the things that come out of my mouth as a Christian that I do not want them to come out of my mouth. But it's mostly during the time of aggravation. And I just don't, I pray about it and I just struggle with that. I just don't know how you get to that point where you can be beyond that, where you can bite that tongue. Or can you get to that point? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. God bless you, brother. Well, 8 years, I mean, you're just a babe in Christ, my friend. You're a babe in Christ. But, you know, you're right. Paul in Romans 7 talks about that, you know, the sin that we don't want to do. He says, you know, wretched man that I am, what I don't want to do, I do. What I do not want to do, I do. And, you know, if your struggle is the tongue, notice, I believe you said, you know, when you're stressed or when you're tired, oftentimes when we are in a circumstance that is a real strain on us, our defenses go down. It's almost like this: when you put a tea bag in hot water, what's inside the tea bag begins to manifest itself, and it's just like that with us when we're in hot water. You know, sometimes the flesh comes out more than the spirit. The carnal man manifests itself. And, you know, James talks a lot about taming the tongue. All I can say, brother, is maybe that is your cross to bear, to really let the Spirit of God guide your words, your vocabulary, and not lapse into habits and certainly speech that you know is not pleasing to God. There is, according to Hebrews chapter 12, the sin that so easily besets us. The sin that you struggle with might not be the sin that somebody else struggles with. And so, Ron, I would just encourage you, you've got 50% of the victory already because you recognize it's an area of weakness. So what you do, you confess it to God, you pray about it, you fill up on the Word, you feed on the Word, and you just every single day, you say, Lord, I want to be controlled by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, this day, give me that measure of grace that I need to be controlled by the Spirit and not the flesh. And, you know, just like with any habit, the patterns of behavior will begin to establish themselves. And we just applaud you for wanting to be more Christ-like. You stay focused on Jesus and it will get easier as time goes by. God bless you, Ron. 888-589-8840. Might have time for one more call. Might have. Brent, do we have another on the board? The music is hitting. All right, folks. Well, Alex McFarland here. So glad you've been listening. Thankful to Brent Creeley on the board. Keep us in your prayers. Tune in next time for more of Exploring the Word. And I want to encourage you, do pray for and support India Partners. India Partners and their Knights of Safety. You can go to afr.net and read more and support them in these days of safety. God bless you. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.